This is 69, the podcast. I'm Dave Haynes. 69 has been covering the digital signage industry since the dawn of man, first online and now as a podcast. The goal on here is to make listeners aware of interesting companies, smart people, and new technology developments, all of them meaningful in making digital signage projects happen. I try to help listeners understand sometimes complicated subjects and why they should care. The podcasts are free and I try to get a new one out weekly, but things happen now and then. The 69 podcast has been gratefully sponsored and supported since the start by Jeremy Gavin and the fine folks at ScreenFeed, the digital signage content store. ScreenFeed makes beautiful looking, totally automated content for signage and digital out-of-home networks. Check them out at screenfeed.com. 69 has been around since 2006, and the publication and podcast are now owned by Spectrio, which provides customer engagement solutions for business. You can find them at spectrio.com. In the last two or three years, I've sensed a big shift in the understanding and execution of big LED displays, with way more focus on content than in the past. For a long time, most of these big jobs were so focused on the size and pitch of the screens, they kind of forgot about what was really important, what was actually on the screens. That's changed a lot with big dollar projects, but not so much, if at all, with the tens of thousands of smaller, lower resolution LED displays that are resting on pylons, along roadsides, or mounted on the sides of buildings. They're just straight marketing and messaging centers for everyone from auto dealers and grocers to churches and community theaters. In most of those cases, the sign operator is working with very basic playout software and has little or no creative capabilities or resources. So what's on those signs often doesn't look very good, doesn't have an impact, and rarely gets changed. That's why Brady Haig started a little company in Wichita, Kansas, that is expressly in the business of making the production of creative for these kinds of screens fast, easy, and inexpensive. Project Content is a cloud platform populated with a ton of pre-designed templates that subscribers can easily use and output as finished files. Templates are not at all new to digital signage, and a whole bunch of CMS software companies have template libraries. There's also third-party services that have these libraries. But those are all for HD screens, what you'd maybe call everyday digital signage. The big difference here is how Project Content is solely focused on these low-res LED screens, with all the quirks and the special thinking and design needed to make them look good and have an impact. Brady Haig, thank you for joining me. Where are you today?
Hey, thanks for having me, Dave. We are located in Wichita, Kansas, so in the center of the U.S.
Flyover country.
Exactly. Yep. We're actually the air capital of the world, but I don't know if we can even consider us that anymore with all the aircraft leaving us. So,
so what is Project Content all about?
So Project Content, in short, it's an effort by my team and I to elevate the outdoor EMC content game. I noticed when I joined the industry about 7 years ago that there's a really big problem, especially with the EMC side of things. And I drove around the country with some colleagues and realized that 85%-ish, you know, of the content was not going to drive revenue. It was just sitting up there not producing anything. And so sign owners love the idea of having an EMC, but they don't think of all the work and all the thought and time that needs to go into, you know, that EMC that they purchased.
Now, I'm going to interrupt you there because I was on your site and I know what EMC is, but can you explain that to other people? Because my community just calls things digital signs.
Yeah. And you know, I actually like LED display better than EMC, but an EMC is an electronic media center or message center. They're outdoor, you know, billboards or digital commercial boards that can promote marketing messages based off of whatever the client wants to put up there. So, you know, driving down the highway, you can see like a lot of car dealerships have them and like to promote their car specials on the road. So EMC is the same thing as an LED display.
Okay. So you're less focused on internal digital signage and much more so on kind of the roadside stuff and the LED stuff at, you know, on pylons and so on.
Exactly. We're kind of working our way into the indoor digital space, but it's so oversaturated right now, and we're just trying to focus on a solution for outdoor first. So,
And yeah, as you say, a lot of these are small businesses, and they just have no idea about what to do for content or, you know, what it should look like or anything else, right?
Right. Yeah. So we kind of call it in-house. We call it the black box debacle because it kind of came to me one day. I was giving a seminar at a place in Missouri, and when these people buy the LED display, they're basically buying a black box, and it's a highly technical black box and probably $30,000 plus, but it's a black box at the end of the day, and it's only going to perform as good as the content that's on there. So we did a quick estimate, and we think that there's more than 100,000 EMCs or black box installations nationwide. Mm-hmm. And, you know, they invest in these EMCs or LED displays for their marketing power and the ability for them to be able to inform people driving by. And the reality is most of these aren't performing the way that they should.
And a lot of these outdoor displays are quasi low resolution, what I would consider low resolution compared to LCDs and so on. And are meant to be seen from a distance. So do you have to design content with that in mind?
Oh, yeah. So coming from college, when I'm working in the the LCD world and HD world, It's kind of hard to dumb everything down. There's so many rules that go into LED display content that are way different. And actually on our website, projectcontent.com, we developed a best practices book, which we call the Project Content Playbook. And in that, you know, it's 50 pages. We went really in depth discussing, you know, the best practices and how to get the best or the most out of your LED screen. You know, everything's got to be blown up. Everything's got to be bigger. And the word's got to be, you know, less verbiage.
Yeah, certainly. When people ask me about digital signage content in general, I always tell them, well, think billboards. You've got very short attention spans. It's a glance media. You've got to have just like a handful of words at the most, and one key image, if you even have an image.
Right. And that key image, you know, can't be detailed. It has to be zoomed in on what you're really trying to promote. Because you got to think, depending on traffic area, the most you're going to get is probably 8 seconds worth of viewing. And that's on the high side of things. Right. Unless you get lucky and you're in an intersection with stoplights. But that's another thing that a lot of clients don't understand is, you know, they'll try to put 30-second ad up there and people are only catching one slide of that ad and not understanding the full ad, you know, completely.
Yeah, this is not a medium for storytelling.
Yeah, exactly.
So how does it work? How does the platform work?
Yeah, so Project Content, we developed the software. It's totally cloud-based, and we house over 1,000 pre-made and editable templates. And these templates that we have are professionally designed by my team using the EMC content best practices that we've acquired over the years. And so one of the coolest things when you get in there is we have every type of collection that you can think of, and we're constantly adding more weekly. So this library that we have is ever growing, and we like to keep it fresh, like I said, every week. But when you come to our website, you go in there and you'll build out an actual sign profile, because as you may know, each LED sign has a different pixel matrix, right?
So, yes.
So let's say 210 pixels wide by 120 pixels wide or tall, for example. That's probably our typical average sign that we deal with. You would put that into your sign profile, and you can name it, and you can have as many signs as you would like. And then you can go into our template editor and find a template that you like, and you can change the actual words and pictures and whatever it may be to better suit your needs. So if it's a hamburger restaurant that you own and you're wanting to show a picture of your hamburger for, you know, 99 cents, I wish that was still the case. You can go in there and swap out a car that it could be a car dealership ad, and you can swap out that car with the hamburger picture and swap out the text for the, you know, the price of the car to the price of the hamburger. And I know that's confusing, but it's all template based.
Right. Do you need any sort of skills other than the ability to use a mouse and type?
Nope. So we tried to keep it as simple as possible. We know that a lot of our clients are, you know, they're receptionists. They're not graphic designers at the end of the day. So we wanted to make it as simple as possible and as least time consuming as possible for them to come in there, develop their ad. All they have to do is think of the idea And we even help with that with some of our templates. But they think of the idea, they plug in the text, plug in their picture, and render it out.
So chances are if they're doing that, they're already in charge of updating that electronic message center in some way. So they already have to know some other software, right?
Correct. Yes. And with that being said, you know, a lot of these manufacturers or sign shops, when they sell an LED sign, you know, the software that they bring is or give to the clients or end user is for the lowest common denominator.
Right.
And usually uses, you know, out-of-date clip art style graphics with the inability to create multi-layer engaging animations. And, you know, you'll see they typically have a solid background color with text appearing in a different color on top. And that's as far as they get.
Mm-hmm.
But we took a poll across, you know, the country, and we saw that about 95% of the market chooses to create their content themselves, even though a lot of them are not graphic designers at the end of the day. So,
and then bad things happen.
And there's two issues with that, actually. So the issue number one is with the end user. And the issue second is the sign dealer or sign shop. So the end user, like I said, they don't have the design or marketing experience to make that sign pop for them and get a return on their investment faster, or even get drive business inside at that time.
Mm-hmm.
They don't have the design capabilities. And most of the time, they just don't have time. It's another thing that's just thrown onto them. And so I can't tell you how many times I drive around town and I see the same message that's been there for 2 years.
Mm-hmm.
And over time, you know, you're just going to tune that out. I already know what that message is going to be. I don't need to look at it again. So you want to keep fresh, engaging content for them to always keep looking and keep your company top of mind.
Is part of the problem that if I'm a, I don't know, maybe a car dealer knows, has agencies and all that because they're producing stuff for a website and so on. But if I'm some sort of business that doesn't do a lot of outbound marketing, is it a case that they wouldn't even know who to ask to build them an ad?
That definitely could be the case. And, you know, the bigger the company, the harder that is to happen. The smaller companies like these mom and pop shops, yeah, they have no idea who to ask and what to do with it. They kind of just go with whatever they see other signs doing. And a lot of the time, it's not the right way to use it. So,
mm-hmm.
And that goes to the issue number two with the sign dealers and sign shops. And, you know, at the end of the day, that product is out there, that sign is out there underperforming and looking bad, which is going to reflect on them, even though it has nothing to do with what they did to it. It could be that, you know, the biggest and baddest sign in town, but if it has, you know, red monochrome text on it, it's not going to look great. And that's an issue with the end users. And that sign is a marketing tool for the sign shop. And
mm-hmm.
If the sign looks better, they look better.
Yeah. And if it's generating an impact for the customer, then it's probably going to generate new business because that customer's competitors are looking at it going, well, we need one of these now.
Exactly. Yeah. We have a dentist down the street actually that purchased an EMC and they had a vertical pitch. So it's kind of different and cool. And so we had a reseller, local sign shop in town that packages project content into the sign cell. So they automatically get us for a year and they used us to as best as they could. And as a result, that sign shop has sold 3 more signs around that company.
Yeah, that's it. I was going to ask that if you had some sort of a reseller program so that the people, even the manufacturers, could bundle content creation capability with the hardware and software or whatever, because it just says, you know, we have this sorted out for you.
Yeah, so we actually do. We rolled this out last year, and so we call them our affiliate and reseller program or our dealer programs. And, you know, the affiliate program, project content, we market directly to the dealer's end users. So the dealer has nothing to do with it except they refer us a customer of theirs that they have and say, hey, can you help them out? And with that, you know, they'll get a 10% residual income for the life of that relationship with the customer. Now, on the other side, we have a reseller program. And that reseller program, a little bit more in depth on the dealer side, because and we see this more used actually. they package it into their sign sales and just make that part of the in number. Mm-hmm. And so they do the selling, and we give them a 25% discount off MSRP so they can upsell it. And then if we keep them on as a client after their term expires, then they get that 10% residual income as well. So,
and you do custom creative as well, right?
Correct. So on our upper tiers, we do offer custom services, and we even offer complete sign management. And what I mean by that is we will actually go into the software, the scheduling platform, and schedule everything for them, keep everything organized, do everything for them. All we need is an email. So we found that once we get some of our clients on here, they never want to go back because they don't want to touch the software.
Yeah.
They don't touch or deal with that. They just want to pass it on. And
stick to their knitting.
Yep. We handle it all and make them look good. So
that must be a bitch though. Cause there, if there are, let's say there's 100 different, EMC vendors out there and they all have their own hack together, often Chinese software. You have to learn all those, right?
Correct. Yeah.
it's fun.
It was a lot of fun. But through that process, it actually was a good learning experience for me and my team. We got to, you know, see what we liked about different softwares, what we didn't like about other softwares, and kind of put it towards our platform and what we continue to build. So it's been a good learning curve, but yes, it's definitely a bitch.
Is the majority of what you do just static images, or are you doing animations, or are you going all the way to video?
We do complete animations and as well as static imagery. So we know there's a lot of bylaws, you know, with different counties that have hold times. And that's one of the things we discovered the hard way once we got going. But so you can do static imagery or animations.
And through all this experience, did you get any sense of whether animation makes a difference for something with such a short attention time?
We haven't done any technical like research, hardcore research on that. But I believe so. I actually teach a class out at a local community college here, and it's digital. It's called Interactive Digital Signage. Mm-hmm. And in that class, we do a lot of research on different signage and, you know, how it can impact things. And one of the things in a small like poll in my classroom, we think that attention grabbing is way easier with animation than static.
Okay.
If you see something flashing in the corner of your eye, you're going to look. If it's that static imagery, you might just keep passing.
Right. So how does the platform work in terms of me being an end user? Do I buy a license? Do I subscribe to something? Are there different tiers?
We deliver three plans or three levels of service depending on what the end user goal is with their EMC and how much content creation process they want to own. Mm-hmm. So you know, our top tier is going to be our $300 a month tier, which is ultimate, and that's going to be that full sign management piece that I talked about. And the higher the tier, the more what we call credits you get. And those credits are technically a custom content piece or a template piece. So with that ultimate plan, you get 10 custom downloads per month and 10 template downloads per month. And then it kind of goes down from there for our three tiers.
In one respect, that doesn't sound like very much, but when you think about the medium, that's probably more content changes than an awful lot of these sign orders would ever do, right?
Correct. Yeah, and it really depends on the medium. So, you know, car dealerships, they're rolling out a whole bunch and they use all 10 every month. But, you know, the mom and pop shops, like I mentioned, they're probably only going to use two or three. And so they might be better for a smaller plan. Mm-hmm. And we don't recommend going above 10. Anyways, because you want to pound that message home. 85% of people that see your sign live within 5 miles of it. So you want to pound that message home as much as possible until the next month.
Mm-hmm. And what's been the response to those different tiers? Like having been in this business for a very long time, $300 a month is nothing, but to an end user, particularly a newbie, it probably seems like, oh my God, $300, are you crazy? Because they don't understand what all is involved.
Right, right. So I will tell you, our most popular plan is, I believe it's our ultimate plan. And The hard thing is to get them to understand that $300, like you said, is not a lot for the amount of things that you're getting. Mm-hmm. But once they realize and they don't have to touch that sign, and it's going to look good and do what they wanted to and how they pictured it in their head, they're hooked. So once we get them on that, they tend to stick around. Mm-hmm. I think the more practical is our premium, where you get 8 downloads from our templates and 2 custom pieces. And that's, you know, for $125 a month. And I feel like that sits well with most of our clients as well.
Hi, I'm Jeremy Gavin, CEO of ScreenFeed. Now, I'm not put off by the fact that you're not listening to this podcast to hear me. Just like audiences to any digital signage, you give your attention to content you find interesting or helpful. That's where my company ScreenFeed comes in. Our sole mission is to make your digital signage network more valuable by making content that is more valuable to your audience. If you'd like to drive more attention to your screens, visit screenfeed.com to explore the 75-plus content options we've created to do just that, and then give us a call. Now, back to the podcast.
We were talking ahead of hitting the start button, and I was telling you how I have a degree of experience in what you're doing from several years ago with something that was more video-driven. It was an After Effects plugin and a service kind of built around that, low-cost ads or full-motion ads. But I found the biggest challenge to getting the end-user community to, you know, take this up was education and getting their heads wrapped around the idea of templates. How have you found trying to raise awareness of this and understanding of it?
Oh yeah, like you said, it's very, very tough. And you know, you're right, we do have to educate them. And we don't only have to educate the end users, but we had a really hard time and focused on educating the sign dealers and sign shops themselves. And what they really need to know is that once you sell an LED display or an EMC, it's an ongoing relationship. It's mm-hmm. not, here's your sign, see you later, thank you for your business. It's an ongoing relationship. And I just truly believe that once we get them educated on the importance of the content and they see, you know, the marketing ability for themselves, that it's gonna hit a home run for them. But yes, educating them is the tough part. We try to do things such as blogging on our websites. We do seminars and webinars throughout mm-hmm. the year. And like I said, we have that playbook that educates. It's like 50-page playbook that can help educate end users and sign dealers.
So are the sign shops kind of your quote-unquote channel?
Yes. Yep. So we started off just going one-on-one with end users, and we realized that was going to take forever. And
it's going to kill you.
Yeah. So we got in touch with some great partners and resellers of our product, and we found that the best way is with them as a reseller. They just package it into their pricing, and they don't have to touch anything else, and the end user is handled by us, and everything's golden.
Mm-hmm. Through the years, people who have experience with the traditional sign industry, the sign community, have tended to say to me, and I've observed it myself, that they don't generally believe the sign industry is ever going to wrap their heads around the digital portion of their industry and how it's going to somewhat transition to that, maybe not fully, but at least partly. Have you seen that mindset change and more adoption now? Because I get a sense that that is happening.
Yeah, I do. I think with, you know, the technology getting better and the pitches getting closer and closer together, mm-hmm. pretty soon, I mean, content is going to be as good as HD. Now, it's the thing with that, though, is, you know, there's still going to be those outdoor practices that you can't create the outdoor billboards the same way as you can for an indoor display. Because mm-hmm. of the, like we talked about at the beginning, the amount of words you can get and the amount of detail that you can actually show. But as far as the digital space, yeah, I think people are finally starting to take notice, and I'm excited to see where it goes.
Are there standards in terms of dimension? You know, one of the cool things about LED is you're not constrained by 69 or 16:10 aspect ratio. You can you can do different shapes, you can do wide ribbons and on and on, but does that create a problem for you? Because you mentioned earlier this idea or this process of creating a sign profile. If you have an auto dealer group that has 20 signs and they're not all the same size, do they have to create, you know, multiple versions of the same spot, or is it responsive or anything like that?
Yeah. So how it would work. So we have an Arby's franchise and they have multiple different sizes. So they would build each location out with their actual pixel matrix for each sign. And maybe they can name it, you know, whatever location it is. And they can go in and edit one message and then export it and render it out to all the different sizes. And it will automatically adjust to those sizes.
Oh, okay. Nice.
Yeah.
So you're not having to kind of create it and then back up and start over and do the same damn thing again for a different resolution.
Right. Right. Yep. That's one of the things that we coded in there. And that's probably my favorite thing that we decided to do.
And how long would it take to produce an ad? I get a sense if you knew what you're doing, it would take like 90 seconds.
Yeah. 90 seconds is pretty on the ball there. We usually say, you know, give it 30 seconds to render, and by render, it's got to go through and, you know, create the actual video with your changes from that template. Then it'll spit it out to your downloads folder. So yeah, 90 seconds is probably a good time.
And if you render it and you don't like it, or I guess what I'm asking is, if you're creating a spot and you want to proof it and make sure it looks okay, and you know, put the, if you spell it correctly and so on, is that one rendered output as soon as you do that, or you're only sort of, the meter only goes on when you do a final render?
Yeah. So unfortunately, as of right now, how we have it, your final image is your final image, and that's going to take your credit. However, what we have implemented is you can preview it as much as you want, and we even send you an extra message right before and we say, are you sure? Have you checked the spelling? Have you looked through this? And as soon as you hit yes, then it's going to take that. We still get quite a bit of clients that, you know, ignore that message and hit yes, and we'll refund them their credits, and that's totally fine. But that's one thing that we're looking at improving this year and upcoming changes.
Yeah. I guess some of the other things you could over time get into, like some of the agencies have, and even third-party tools where you can start to do things like approvals and markups on spots and everything else, saying, you know, this would be great, but you use this image instead, all that sort of stuff. Are you looking at that down the road?
Oh, exactly. Yeah, we are. So we've kind of busted project content into three stages. Our first stage was to create our templates and make them editable and spit those images or videos out. Second stage, we're going to make this an actual scheduling platform, and that's what we're in the works of doing now. So not only can you create your template, but you can also schedule it, and it'll be mobile friendly, cloud-based, ready to go. And the third is going to be the AI side. And so what our end goal is, which I can't talk about too much, but it'll be artificial learning and artificial intelligence telling you, hey, kind of like what you talked about, this would look better here, or, you know, you ran this special at this time last year. Do you want to run that special today?
Yeah, it's interesting. I was just looking at a website yesterday for a company called Fixate.
Okay.
Fixate.ai, I think they were called, and they do AI-based, machine learning-based optimization of ads, so they can do predictive on how or where people are going to look on an ad spot based on, you know, how it's laid out and everything else, and then make recommendations about if you make this larger, change this color and so on, it's going to get a higher strike rate.
Oh, wow. That's pretty cool. Yeah. I'll definitely have to check that out.
Yeah. Expensive though. Like getting AI engineers is an expensive unit if you're in flyover country.
Right. Oh yeah. Oh yeah. Software I've learned is very expensive.
Everything's virtual these days. So where are you at in terms of your company and size? Is it bootstrapped? Are you venture backed or anything like that?
So we're privately owned, and we have about eight employees. A lot of them I've taken from my college classes, so I get a free little trial with them. but yeah, so we're 8 strong right now, and we're continuing to grow, and Last year, we basically doubled. So I'm excited to see where we go this year.
And are you set up for scale? Like if all of a sudden, you know, your business quadrupled, that'd be a good problem to have. But do you have the infrastructure to handle that kind of spike in demand?
Yeah, I believe we do. And a lot of that has to do with, you know, the help themselves feature with those templates. I think that's going to be kind of what would help us drive that growth. Those templates are created. We don't have to do anything with them nowadays. The clients go in there and do it all themselves. So as long as we keep knocking out more clients and keep bettering our software on the other side of things, then I think we'll be set and ready to go.
There are other companies out there that do similar stuff, but it tends to be a platform that didn't start as digital signage or as electronic message centers or whatever you want to call them. It started as printed posters, material for Instagram and Facebook and so on. And they've sort of said, oh, by the way, we now support 69 landscape and portrait, and you could do it that way too. Are they competitors for you?
You know, we have not seen them as a competitor. We've learned a lot from them, but they, like you said, they are more for social media or indoor signage. I think the one thing that differentiates us is we specialize in those smaller pixel matrices. Mm-hmm. We know how the outdoor content game is different. We've done the research and we've been in it for 7 years. So I think that's one thing that, like, for instance, we mimic Promo a lot. Promo is a great website.
And, yeah.
We love what they do, but a lot of their ads are not going to work for an outdoor digital display. They're going to, you know, they're going to be too broad and not enough, or too detailed, I should say.
Yeah, I find what they do interesting. I've reached out to them a couple times and they did not get back to me. So
yeah,
they could have had a podcast too if they'd... Be nice, but now they're pooched.
Yeah.
All right. So if people want to find Project Content, where do they go online?
So they'll go to www.projectcontent.com. And
pretty straightforward.
Yep. Straightforward.
And do you have any kind of a setup for like try us for 14 days or anything like that?
Yeah, we do have a free trial. And okay. it is for 14 days, and you'll get access to our template editor. So you can go around and go in there and play around and get your hands dirty with it. And please let us know what you think. And if there's any upgrades or changes that you'd like to see, we're all ears.
All right, Brady, thank you very much for spending some time with me.
Hey, I appreciate it, Dave. Thank you.
That's it for this week's episode. I hope you enjoyed it and maybe you learned a thing or two. If you're new to 69, it's a podcast that's been around since 2016. You can click around the archive and find hundreds of conversations with smart industry people. If you're new to digital signage, you need to be reading 169 at 16-9.net. You'll find more than 8,000 posts by me and expert guest writers about this industry. 169 is not a press release republishing mill like a lot of the stuff out there. If something makes it on 169, that means it matters in some way to the business. Everything about 69 is free. Great sponsors make my work possible, and the key one here is ScreenFeed, the digital signage content store. Check out all the curated and automated content available at ScreenFeed.com. 69, the blog, and the podcast are now owned by Spectrio, which does customer engagement solutions, most of that digital signage, for all kinds of businesses. You'll find them in the Tampa area and online at Spectrio. That's Spectrio.com. You'll find me working out of a sunny back room in my house located outside Halifax, Nova Scotia, on the east coast of Canada. Thanks for listening. I'm Dave Haynes.